Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
800-636-1067. If you want to tweet me, it's at WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. All right, so, you know, again, bringing up the unfiltered multimedia series that the Washington football team announced this morning. Again, I think it's a really creative, cool idea. They had to do something different than Hard Knocks, something different than, you know, All or Nothing, which is, you know, great series because All or Nothing follows, you know, the teams throughout the season as opposed to Hard Knocks, which is clearly just training camp. You know, I know the Bills did their own production last year, in-house production. So this is something similar, but now you have basically a menu, a touchdown's worth of different choices, right? And weekly shows. So it's going to be a lot to produce. It's going to be a lot to edit. It's going to be a lot to shoot. It's going to be a lot to deal with. I don't know how exactly they're going to do it. Maybe they're hiring more people. I don't know. If you're in that side of the business, maybe you might want to, you know, reach out and see if they need some help. Who knows? Maybe you can become an employee of the Washington football team. That being said, again, while I realize that they're going to talk about we want to be more transparent, yes, they will be more transparent. Will they be completely transparent? Probably not. We're calling the series Unfiltered. Will it be more unfiltered than it was? Of course. Will it be completely unfiltered? No. Somebody sent me earlier today, trying to find it in my messages here, a story from like way back with Dan Snyder in the Washington Post when he did an interview, with George Michael, and who, you know, of course passed away in 2009. So that's how, you know, old this story is. And, you know, basically it was like Dan being asked, it was Ian Washburn who sent this. So I want to give him credit if Ian's listening. I think this was from 2007. Like Dan did an interview with, you know, at that point, CSN, and they hired George to do the interview, right? And basically it kind of goes like this, where they didn't hire or they didn't have one of their own at that point, you know, Chick Hernandez or Kelly Johnson. They hired George Michael to do it. And they said, no, there's nothing to see here. There's no big conspiracy, even though George Michael is really good friends with Dan Snyder. And of course there was something to see there, right? I mean, we're not going to get as honest and as unfiltered of an interview when it's a friend or buddy, right? I know how this works. If somebody treats you well, you're not going to call them out and put them the feet to the fire. You're just not going to do it, right? And at that point, Dan Snyder, now again, mind you, this is what, 14 years ago, said they need the controversy to sell. Negative. It becomes a feeding frenzy for the media. That's not really true. You know what sells? Winning, period. And he said at the point, he said, quote, it's not so much controlling the message. We give fans unfiltered information. It's not filtered by a 26-year-old reporter who doesn't have a clue. Well, true, a 26-year-old reporter generally doesn't have that much of a clue. Not in all cases, but in some cases. But I would also tell you, there's no chance, zero chance, less than zero chance, that anything that comes out of that building is not filtered in some way. They're not showing you, you know, if a player goes into Ron Rivera's office because he's upset about playing time, that's probably not getting on there. Or if Ron Rivera calls out one of his coaches or dogs one of his players, now maybe some of that will be there. You'll get some of that, you know, where they make an honest critique and say, yeah, you know, so-and-so is just, not, you know, not playing, you know, well enough. We need more out of him. You'll get some of that, but the notion that they'll be completely unfiltered and that everything that comes out of that building is non-filtered is kind of absurd to me. It's kind of absurd to me. I mean, it's always filtered. And if you want unfiltered, a lot of times even this radio station is not completely unfiltered. But this is as unfiltered as you're going to get. You know, because my boss doesn't tell me what to talk about or how to talk about it. Now, if I say something stupid, right, I might hear about it. He might offer a critique or, hey, you might want to do this the next time, right? But there's no pre-programming orders. Like CK didn't call me before the show and say, okay, now don't criticize the Capitals because we're the flagship station of the Capitals. Don't, many times I've called the Learners cheap. Right? They're our partners. You know, for a family that has a $5.4 billion fortune, I think they run their business in some ways cheaply, frugally. I've said that on the air. I just said it now. I've never been told, no, you can't say that or, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying Dan always does that because for 5 years I worked at Dan's owned radio station. Dan never told me what to do. But he had henchmen that would make it very uncomfortable when I would say something that they didn't like, I would get a tongue lashing. And it made you think the next time. It put your feet to the fire, right? It made you intimidated. It made you a little nervous. So again, the notion that everything out of that building, and again, that quote was from 14 years ago, is unfiltered, just because they call it unfiltered, doesn't mean it's truly unfiltered, right? It's more unfiltered than it was when Bruce Allen was in control and nothing, I shouldn't say nothing was getting out, but he wanted nothing to get out. He wanted to not be transparent, not only with the media, and this is what Bruce didn't understand. Bruce didn't want to be transparent to the media, but he didn't want to be transparent to you, the customer, the fan. And that's what he never could figure out. And I think Ron Rivera figured that out a long time ago. And I think Julie Donaldson figured that out a long time ago. All right, real quickly, the helmets. Do you love them? Do you like them? Are they boring? Are they blah? I like them. I don't want to say I love them. I like them. I from day one here, when we realized there was going to be a name change, I said, get rid of the name, get rid of the Native American imagery, get rid of the Indian head, the logo, keep the colors. I cannot, under any circumstances, and I won't, say, oh, I don't love the Washington football team name, and I don't love the helmets. They're too boring. They're too blah. They're too this. They're too that. When they essentially did everything that I asked them to do. I asked them to change the name before the season, announce that they're going to make a name change. They went one step further and actually gave themselves they didn't give themselves a new name, but they're calling themselves a new name, right? or they're calling themselves the Washington football team. So again, it's not this weird, well, we're dipping one foot in the water, but not the other. So in essence, I would be a hypocrite if I came out and said, no, they were boring, they suck, they're bland, they're whatever. I don't have to love them, but I don't think they were, you know, everybody was using the fire emojis. You know, everyone was all giddy up yesterday. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Dukes. I don't know what Dukes talked about on the radio. I didn't listen yesterday, but he was all fired up on Twitter, at least. You know, again, Dale Earnhardt Jr., everyone, you know, with the eye-opening emojis, and I don't know how to describe all this stuff, right? I mean, everybody was fired up. People were like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, Macho Man Randy Savage. You know, I got it all on my site, WashingtonFootballNSI.com, which you can go check out. So everybody was geeked up. Again, I like it, the helmets. I think they're simplistic. I think they're kind of old school with a modern flair, if you will. You know, they're bright. They're not like old looking, but they're old school. And they look very much like Alabama helmets, right? I mean, for a football team that kind of, I don't want to say patterns itself after the Alabama football program, but they have certainly reached into that bloodline for a lot of their players. It is essentially a burgundy and gold version of what Alabama has done with the crimson, red, and the white. That's what it is. It's old school, it's throwback, but with a little bit of a modern flair. And, you know, obviously Alabama at times has the A, which is kind of cool. I like the A more than the numbers. I wish they kind of would have gone with, you know, a W and, you know, maybe like the skyline behind it or something like that, right? Maybe they just didn't have enough time. Again, like it is different than love it, but it's certainly better than blah or boring or hate it. What say you? Are you in on the, let's not do the logo thing, right? Let's not do the name thing. Are you in on the helmet look? Do you kind of like the old school? Do you wish they would have done something a little bit different, even on a temporary one-year, one-season basis? Or are you cool with it? Is it fire? Is it emoji.emoji.fire? What is it? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We're with you on the Fan. I've avoided a lot of maniacs over the last 4.5 months. Now, I'm a maniac myself, but in a different way. In a completely different way. But just be safe out there. Yeah, in effect for Loudoun, Frederick, Maryland, Montgomery County until 9:45 tonight. Winds up to 60 miles per hour. Heavy rain. I mean, that's, only 25 minutes away. So, you know, maybe, you know, the worst is gone. I don't know. But the bottom line is just be careful out there, right? All right. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's your toll-free number for you to hop aboard. The Washington football team changes the helmets, right? And again, they're in a no-win situation. It's hard to come up with a logo and a design so quickly. It didn't take a lot, quite honestly, to come up with Washington football team written out, established 1932, right? That was the little wrinkle, right? Little throwback to their history. It didn't take a lot. Harder to come up with a cool-looking logo with the skyline and all that stuff. So I get it. I understand it. they got enough to deal with. They got enough going on that, you know, you didn't want to get too fancy here. I get it. I understand it. Again, that's why, though, I like the helmets as opposed to love or think they're emoji fire, whatever, hot, great, sizzling, whatever, whatever the kids say. Yeah, you know, okay. They're fine. They're fine. I don't cringe when I see them. I don't love them, but I'm not a big uniform guy anyway. You know, I like football. I don't care so much about the uniforms. So I think Washington did okay. They did fine, considering the situation that they were in. Again, could they have been better? Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. But they're not, I don't know how people hate them. I'm like, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, besides the old helmets, which is probably what the people that hate them want. And you can't have that. You can't have that. So I think they did the best thing that they could. By the way, just an aside, I saw that Josh Norman spoke today for the first time to the Buffalo media. He said it just felt right joining the Bills. Now, of course, he knows a lot of those coaches and people from that used to be with Ron in Carolina. So clearly, I mean, it was a natural fit. And now Tre'Davious White, I think, officially opted out. I know he was talking about it. I didn't see official word on that, but I believe he is. So, you know, Norman could be elevated into a starting position, which, you know, good luck. But that defense is good enough that they might be able to absorb that. Now, losing Lorenzo Alexander, losing Tre'Davious White, and again, I didn't see official word on Tre'Davious White. I know he was calling people out on Twitter for criticizing him, so I believe he did opt out. But, you know, if you have to count on Josh Norman starting 16 games for you, again, you might be able to get away with it if you're Buffalo. Certainly the Washington team could not get away with it. And maybe Josh Norman will be juiced up a little. He hated it here. Yeah, he just did not like it here. He didn't like the people in the locker room. He didn't like, you know, he didn't like some of the coaches. They didn't like him. He was just miserable here. Just miserable. And everyone wanted to bury their head in the sand because Josh Norman was good to the media. And Josh Norman would speak. You know, so a lot of guys that were on the beat liked him a lot because he was good to them. You know, but he was controlling, very controlling. I'll never forget, like, you know, he called out a couple of people in the media last OTAs, called them over, you know, after refusing to talk and all this stuff because, you know, there were people that were speculating that he might get cut, including myself. And that wasn't fair to those guys. They were just speculating, saying, hey, look, he's got a big salary cap number. He didn't play that well. And you got a team that, you know, has an issue with the cap. And yet I remember specifically called over one specific reporter. I won't say who. And then called over the whole group and was just like, look, I'm good to you guys. I give you guys, you know, this and I give you guys that. I expect this. I expect that. It wasn't anything horrible, but it wasn't like somebody that was not calculating. It was like, hey, because I talk to you guys and because I give you stuff, I expect in return you guys not to be speculating about my future when it's hard to do. It's hard to do. We're in a tough spot. You know, where we need the players, we need the coaches, we need the organization's help. But a lot of times you're asked to be honest and open and transparent. It's hard to straddle that fence. Hard to straddle that fence. All right, so the helmets, Josh Norman. Speaking of corners, I think Washington losing Quentin Dunbar and losing Josh Norman, on the surface, people are going to say, well, that's, you know, there's no way they can make up for that. But here's the thing. I don't know what Quentin Dunbar's legal situation is going to turn out to be. I know he's on the commissioner's exempt list, right? They say they didn't do it. Guess what? So does 98% of criminals say they didn't do it. And I'm not calling them criminals, but I'm just saying that we've heard that before. We've heard that before. Either way, I know he's on the commissioner's exempt list. And I don't know if Quentin Dunbar is going to be ready for week one of the NFL season with his new team, the Seattle Seahawks. And I would probably bet against it. If he was still here, obviously that would be a mess that we'd all be focusing on and paying a lot more attention to. But he's not here. They got rid of him smartly. They knew he was a volatile personality. They knew he was very immature. While very good, they knew he was very immature. They set the bait, they put the bait out, they set the trap, and he fell right into it. And they got rid of him. They got rid of him. Which was the smart thing to do. So are they worse at corner this year than last year? I mean, again, Josh Norman was terrible last year. Terrible. And he wasn't very good the year before that when everybody was running around going, Josh Norman is a pro bowler. He's great. All he does is make plays. When Josh Norman was running around telling you he was the best corner in the NFL. Which was not true in any sort of way. It wasn't true then, wasn't true now. Right? I never listened to a chihuahua, and that's what I kind of viewed Josh Norman as. Bark, 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 bark. Yeah, just all talk, no action. So I think the Washington football team, I almost said it, is better at corner this year than they were last year from the simple sheer point of one, the best guy they had is not available to play for his current team. And he wouldn't be available right now to play for Washington if he was here. And as a matter of fact, he would be a nightmare to deal with. And he would be a complete unknown because of the criminal process or the justice for criminals process. And the commissioner's exempt list. Just be a complete nightmare to deal with. And Josh Norman, again, that is addition by subtraction. I don't care if Ronald Darby never returns to Darby in Buffalo 3 years ago. I don't care if Darby is nothing more than above average corner, an average corner. He's better than Josh Norman. I know this, Kendall Fuller's an upgrade in terms of the person, in terms of the leader, in terms of the character, in terms of the dual versatility, really triple versatility. If you look at, you know, he can play free safety compared to Quentin Dunbar, even though he's more expensive. Now, Dunbar might be more naturally talented, but Fuller is the more mature, smarter, well-rounded player, and better leader, better culture setter, somebody you don't have to worry about popping off like an immature child. So again, just right there, before we even talk about Jimmy Moreland year two, before we talk about Fabian Moreau hopefully not being used in the slot and only on the outside, before we talk about other guys developing, just right there, I think they're better. And that's the real weak spot of their defense, right? I mean, you can make an argument linebacker, I guess, is. But if they get Reuben Foster back midway through the season and he's anything close to Reuben Foster, you know, linebacker's not going to be so bad. And even right now with, you know, Cole Holcomb and Thomas Davis and John Bostic and maybe Ryan Anderson, although it looks like he's going to be more of a defensive end, according to what the coach has told us. Yeah, I mean, it's not a great linebacking core, but in a 4-3, you know, where your investment is on the edge and is at defensive tackle, you don't need great at every level. You need solid. And I would say they're probably solid at the linebacker level. And most people would say the clear weakness is corner, but I would argue that it's the weakness, but they're better than they were. And they're better than they would be if they had Josh Norman and Quentin Dunbar right now. That I know. All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Take a timeout right here on The Fan. I'm way late for the bottom of the hour. Sorry about that. We will come back with the final part of the show. I got to hit on a couple of Nats things. And as well, I want to touch on some college football, which is facing a mass exodus and is becoming more and more like college basketball, at least for one season. Well, we'll do all of that next on The Fan. All right, we'll get to some college football here in a minute or two, maybe a little bit more. Just wanted to bring to your attention, baseball did some rescheduling, a bunch of rescheduling for all the coronavirus postponements that killed off the Marlins for a week and a half, the Cardinals for a week, the Phillies for a week, so on and so forth. Here's what affects the Nationals. Remember, the Nationals had a three-game series in Miami last weekend, totally wiped out. So, the two teams will play a doubleheader at Nationals Park on Saturday, August 22nd, starting at 4:05. And remember, now there are seven-inning games. Miami will serve as the home team in Game 2, which is a makeup of the July 31st game. Okay, plus the regular schedule game. But again, everything is now seven innings in these doubleheaders, I think. Yeah, yes, that is official now. To make up the other two games of that series that were lost last weekend, the Nationals and Marlins are going to play, check this out, this is the weirdest, two doubleheaders in a four-game series over 3 days. A five-game series in a three-day span. So here's the deal. Friday, September 18th, they're going to play a doubleheader in Miami. Again, 2 7-inning games starting at 5:10 Eastern. The regularly scheduled game and the makeup game from August 1st. That's the second now game made up of that three-game lost series. Then on Sunday, September 20th, they're going to play another doubleheader starting at 1:10 in Miami. That's the regularly scheduled game and the makeup game, the final game of that series. So I guess the day in between, Saturday, September 19th, they're only going to play one game. But two doubleheaders, Friday and Sunday, all four of those games will be seven innings apiece. So it does save a little wear and tear. But how about that? Huh? When was the last time you saw a doubleheader on a Friday? I can't remember. I just don't do them. But you lose an entire three-game series. What can you do? And baseball had to juggle a lot of, balls to get all these games scheduled and rescheduled before the end of the regular season, because they didn't want to keep adding to the end of the regular season, because Fauci and others have said, whoa, wait a second, if you think now is going to be bad, the fall, chilly weather, this, that, and the other thing, going to be worse. And then on top of that, you know, don't forget, you've got all these extra playoff teams. You know, the baseball postseason is probably going to go into early November anyway. Maybe even a little bit later than November 1st or 2nd. Don't know exactly yet based on the dates. So they couldn't really go any further. They needed to have room and flexibility. So that's going to be interesting. That's going to be real interesting. You know, as far as the Nats go, they split two with the Mets. after the four-day break. You would have loved for them to obviously taken two out of two. The Mets came in really struggling. They avoided a sweep in Atlanta on Monday. But maybe some of that was because Soroka had blown out his Achilles, so they got to the bullpen early. Who knows? Then, on Wednesday, not only do you lose, but you also find, you know, while you get Soto back, and you still don't have Strasburg, you find out, oh, wait, Max Scherzer's got a tweaked hamstring on Tuesday, and he's going to try and gut through it, but you're clearly concerned enough. You have Fetty warming up with the bullpen before the game even starts. Clearly, it comes out, he tweaks it, running maybe to first base, comes out after an inning, 27 pitches, and he says, no, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Oh, no big deal. I'll be back. I mean, again, if I had $5 for every time I heard the Nationals and Max Scherzer specifically say, no big deal, I'll be back, I'll be fine, I'll be good, I'd be a rich man, and I'm far from rich. This isn't a I believe it when I see Max back out on the mound for his next start. This is I'll believe it when there's no more flare-ups. And unfortunately, I don't know when or how long that might take. It might not happen, but the likelihood is for a pitcher now of his age and now his injury history, you know, two out of the last 3 years, he's really battled some injuries. I mean, thankfully, nothing major to the shoulder and the elbow. He's still great. He's still a war daddy. But, you know, at some point, right, our bodies break down. At some point, our bodies break down. You wonder kind of when all these neck, back, hamstring issues might affect something else that hasn't broken down yet. Or maybe it won't. But to say no reason for concern, no need to worry, it'll be fine, it's no big deal. Yeah, that all sounds great, and that's what they want to preach so that there's no panic and alarm. And some people will buy in hook, line, and sinker, not this guy. Again, like I said, if I had $5 for every time I heard Max Scherzer or Davey Martinez or the Nationals say, no big deal, no problem, he'll be back, nothing to worry about, nothing to see over here, I'd be a rich man. And I wouldn't be on the radio on a Thursday night at 9:44. I can tell you that much. I'd be on vacation somewhere. Somewhere good. Where everybody could leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? So, even when I see Max Scherzer back in 4 or 5 days for his next start, maybe, if he does that, I can't tell you it's not going to be in the back of my mind every single pitch, every single inning. When is that hamstring going to go? When is the back going to, you know, tighten back up again? When is the neck going to creep back up again? Because the hamstring is connected to the backbone and the backbone's connected. You get my point. I mean, you just have to hold your breath every single pitch, every single out, every single inning, every single start that Max Scherzer is going to have. Not to mention against Steven Strasburg, yes, threw in a bullpen session, all that stuff. Great, grand, wonderful. No absolute a surety that he's coming back this weekend. Maybe. We hope. We think. Maybe. Didn't miss a start all last year. Hasn't made one yet this year. Just because he might make a start this weekend doesn't mean he's not going to have an issue. Yuck. Already the world champs behind the eight ball. Again, no reason to go crazy. Just want to point it out that I don't believe everything they say, and neither should you. You should not have complete blind faith. You can hope. You should not have complete blind faith. All right, we'll come back, take our final break. We will put the icing on the cake with a word on college football. Already in big-time trouble, going to be even more big-time trouble. We will explain why next. You know, again, it's just part of the college football culture, right? The college football scene. This way, yeah, every team gets to play, 12, 13 games. They play 10 conference games or whatever it is. And they play two or three proverbial cupcakes out of the conference, whatever. So now you have less games, less revenue. Who knows about fans? You're certainly not having 110,000 fans jump into, you know, Happy Valley or Baton Rouge or anything like that, right? You're going to have a lot of empty stadiums or sparsely attended stadiums, just like you will in the NFL. But the bigger issue is because athletes don't get paid, which I've never been a supporter of, college athletes. I mean, I understand why they certainly get screwed, but they also know the rules, right? You know, I mean, I don't have to stay in radio. I choose to stay in radio. And, you know, I've gotten screwed my whole life and my whole career. But I'm here. I still keep fighting. I still keep battling. Don't give up. Right? It's not fair. I can tell you that much. But what can I do? I can't fight politics in City Hall. So I don't feel bad for college athletes that don't get paid. Right? Even though the system is unfair, largely. But a lot of the top prospects, and there's more and more in the last just couple of days, including the top defensive end in college football from the University of Miami, Greg Rousseau, who had 15 and a half sacks, second most in the country. He opted out today. Going to prepare for the 2021 NFL draft. Yesterday, it was Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons, probably the best linebacker in the country. Certainly on Penn State at linebacker U. Last week, it was Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley, one of the top corners, if not the top corner. Earlier this week, it was Minnesota wide receiver Rashad Bateman, one of the best wide receivers. Now, that's only four names. Four names. But the bottom line is this. When those four names are those four names, you know that there's a lot more to come. And presuming that there's a lot more to come, and I do presume that, I don't think they have an opt-out date. I'm not sure. I don't know enough about it. But if you're a first-round potential prospect, right? Normally, I would say you're crazy not to play college football because you can improve your stock. You get more experience. You develop body, mind, this, that, your football skills, all of that. But, I mean, if you're a top prospect and you know you're going to get drafted regardless of what happens and, you know, almost surely in the top 10, top 15, why would you waste your time this year on campuses that aren't set up well, around kids and families that aren't wearing masks, God knows what they're doing at home or in their dorm or whatever. Like, why would you risk that? Football factory programs that care more about winning and making money than they do the athletes. I mean, we've seen it across the board. These players are absolutely doing the right thing. Nobody should kill them. I can't. Normally I would. I can't. I understand. And it's killing college football because it's going to take some of the best top-tier talent. Now, there'll probably be more if there's even a season. Maybe not as bad as college basketball, but it's pretty damn close, especially if more big names start to fall. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Sean Summers for helping us out and doing a great job as always. Thanks to you guys for calling, listening, being a part of the show. We bounced you all around on a Thursday night. I'll be back with you Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4. Until then, have a great rest of your Thursday night. Be safe out there. Stay dry. Adios on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.